Okay, thank you all for coming. I'm Dr. Patricia Matthews. I'm going to be opening the meeting at 6:05 on behalf of Cody, our president, who is not going to be in attendance today. So we have an agenda. You should all have it in front of you. We'd like to start with the welcome and introductions. So if we could go around and just state your name and your positions with Esperanza or whatever, so that we can have it on record.
Esmeralda Torres, first grade teacher.
Debbie Bauman, parent representative.
Jessica Garay, instructional coach.
Paula Espinosa, I'm the president of the Association of Latino Administrator and Superintendents in Utah.
Rodolfo Alejandro, executive director of Esperanza.
Oh, Becky Kemp, I am a parent and the secretary.
Ari Moreno, executive assistant.
Brian Cates, business manager from Red Apple Financial.
Thank you all for being here, and we can start with the financial report that Brian is going to give us this evening.
Okay, thank you. Let me just mention first, I know that the board retreat's going to happen in a couple of weeks. Mr. Alejandro and I were discussing how we want to do the budget as far as approval of the budget. As you know, next year's budget needs to be approved in June. Typically, we would do that in our June meeting, which is at the end of June. The June meeting and also board retreat is happening at the very beginning of June. The issue there is that it doesn't give enough time to really put together the financials completely as of the end of May to give us an accurate picture of the budget. So what most likely will need to happen is to have an additional meeting. It can be done, you know, over the phone to approve the budget for next year. We'll probably do it on the 27th, which would have been the regular day to have our board meeting. And that date obviously can move as needed, but that will just give us time to really be able to put together, gather all the data, put together the budget as of the end of May, and then make any tweaks to the preliminary budget for next year.
Okay. Is there any way that something skeletal could be put together just for the retreat and then be updated?
We actually did talk about that, and we already have a skeletal budget for the following.
I think that would be really good to have on the agenda at the retreat, so that then all you have to do is update it for
Correct.
The electronic process for finalizing it.
Yeah, so the report you have and the report that's on the drive is the report. It's the report we're looking at now. So it's the report as of the end of April, which is 83% through the fiscal year. The report not only has a summary, but it has the detail not only of the current year actuals, but also a preliminary budget for next year. Yes, in answer to your question, as Alokia said, you do have that currently. And it's, like I said, it's on the drive so that you'll be able to pull that or view it at the retreat.
Wonderful.
Okay. Currently, we're sitting at about 6.7% operating margin. Our cash position is healthy. We've got about 120 days cash on hand. Our enrollment has held steady through the beginning of May. And I assume through now. I only have data as of the 1st of May, so... I won't go too much into detail in this meeting, just for sake of time and how many other things we need to discuss. But next year we're looking at a projected operating margin of about 6.2%, which is healthy. It's about where we want to be. It's in fact over where we would like ourselves to be considered healthy and sustainable financially speaking. The we've budgeted based on an enrollment of 525, which is our cap. As we know, we are allowed to go 3% over that, based on our current waiting list, that's what we've faced the past couple of years is potentially having more than we need. So it's a good problem to have. Another item that we've talked about that's actually an action item that I've requested be moved to the next meeting is the PTIF. As we know, we're our cash position is continually increased, so we're in a position to be able to take a chunk of that and invest it in the PTIF. For the next meeting, before the next meeting, I will email out the application that I've completed the most that I can, and the board resolution that I've also completed the most that I can. It will need to be finished by a member of the board, and the resolution will be voted upon, and then at that point, the board will decide on an amount to invest. And we've talked about that amount as well with in prior board meetings. That additional interest income that we would experience as a result is currently not calculated into the preliminary budget because we just don't know and we haven't actually invested in it yet. There's a few different line items that are new this year, particularly in state revenue. There's the TSSA, which is new, which is the Teacher Student and Success Act. And there is a lag funding portion of the local replacement. Excuse me. That is being given. The K through 12 line item has a 4% increase. So it's we're in a great environment as far as the increase in revenue from the state, as far as that goes. Schools healthy, everything points to a very successful and sustainable Esperanza, and so I would just say, at this point, invest not only in PTIF, but whatever other funds that we're projecting to have as our net income. We're in a fantastic position of being able to invest further into the program of Esperanza. So
just clarification, this TSSA and the LAC funding, what was it called,
LAC
funding?
Yeah, so it's on the next page. The highlighted revenue columns are new.
So this is already happening this year?
No.
So that's for next year.
Yeah,
the
highlighted items are for next year. You can see TSSA, which is the Teacher Student Success Act, local replacement, which is linked to the line item just above it. And then there's the CSI that we've talked about, and we don't have an amount for that yet, so that's also not included yet.
Okay. Yeah, that makes us, a good
question. Yeah. Questions, anybody?
Other than the idea of putting off the vote for PTIF till next meeting, which is the actual retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so before that point, I will email out to the board the application as well as the board resolution and for review. And that resolution is actually completed by a board member and voted upon. And then it needs to be notarized, but I can take care of that at my office.
Okay. And since I can't be at that meeting, I just want it on record that I'll give my vote to Cody or whoever's going to preside over the meeting.
I think it's going to be Cody.
Okay, good.
And at this meeting, we do not have a quorum, so we're just going to...
That this one?
Yeah.
So it is good that we're going to roll.
Yeah, and fine. We don't have the resolution anyway, so we couldn't have...
Okay,
thank you.
So that brings us two action items, and as just been reported, we don't have a quorum this evening because of everything that's going on in the educational world right now. And so, item one, which is to approve minutes from April 25th, we can do that at the next meeting. We've already talked about rolling over the vote on the PTIF, especially since we need some more additional information that we're going to be provided by Brian. Number three, Jessica Garay. I said that wrong.
Garay.
Mm-hmm. Jessica Garay, scholarship recipient, presented by Paula Espinoza, Association of Latino Administrators, is next on the agenda. And so we'd like to welcome Paula.
Thank you for the opportunity to present this award on behalf of the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. Let me just stand.
You
can. Okay. So The Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, Utah. We affectionately refer to ourselves as ALSU. My name is Paula Espinosa, and I'm currently the president of ALSU. Our organization recently held our annual summit. One of our speakers, Dr. Youngmei Ni, from the Educational Leadership and Policy Department at the College of Education at the University of Utah, shared some interesting statistics with us. In the state of Utah, approximately 25% of the student population are students of color. 17% are Latino. However, statewide, about 10% of teachers are teachers of color. Only 3% are Latino. And 6% are principals of color, and only 1% are Latino. Your school's a little different. You have a higher percentage. So our organization, we have a mission to develop and support current and aspiring Latino educators. We help Latino educators advance into positions of leadership through mentorship, networking, access, and professional development. Ultimately, we aim to support leaders who will support the success of all students. To this end, last year we established scholarships to support educators who want to pursue administrative licensure to become administrators in our state. This year we have chosen Jessica Garay, instructional coach here at Esperanza Elementary, as one of this year's recipients of the ALSU scholarship. Jessica was chosen because of the leadership skills that she's exhibited while she's been an educator here at Esperanza, and because of her dedication to all students, and in particular Latino students. She has a goal to be a bridge between minority students, parents, and teachers, and state leaders. She would also like to become a superintendent in order to make a bigger positive difference in minority students' lives. We need more people like Jessica in our system and to help our community. So I am pleased to present a scholarship award of $5,000 to Jessica Garay, who is currently pursuing administrative licensure through the University of Utah's Educational Leadership and Policy Department at the College of Education. So, Jessica, congratulations. Yay.
I would like to thank all of you guys. It's been a really good pleasure to be here. I think growing up, I didn't have a lot of teachers that spoke Spanish. I didn't have a lot of mentors. I didn't have a lot of people that, you know, were minority as well. And I always tell Mr. Alejandro that you guys built this school for me. I used to live three blocks away. And this school was built when I was doing my student teaching. And as I saw the name Esperanza, I knew that I wanted to be here. And I think I came in around March before I graduated, and I told him that I wanted to be here. And I really would like to thank Mr. Alejandro for all the opportunities. He's been a great mentor. He's been really supportive. And this, I'm doing this also because, you know, he was really supporting with me. So I would like to thank you.
And while we're at it, I'm going to take a minute to thank Patricia.
Patricia, no?
Patricia. Because she's leaving us, the board. And so I just wanted to thank you for your help.
Oh, it's been a long time. I remember when we were interviewing this guy. He's the one!
Thank you for all the interviews.
Also a dream of mine. I had children that never got the opportunity that the children here have. And boy, did I want to create something. And when Barbara started talking to me, I was like, you're speaking my language.
And honestly, I think most of us that are involved with Esperanza, we had the same experience. That's why we love this place so much, because I have four children of my own, and I spoke to them in Spanish at home. But then when they went to school, people made fun of them, and they just stopped speaking Spanish. They understand, but they cannot communicate fluently like I wanted them to.
Which is my children, that's so frustrating.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating as a parent. So I always thought we need a school where not only is their culture tolerated,
It's celebrated
mm-hmm. and embraced. And I think that's what is happening. And with that, if I can, I'm just gonna tell you a little story about what happened on the 4th of May. Our children were playing mariachi music at Midvale. And one of our kids, and I'm going to have a hard time telling you because this is really emotional. He was playing with tears coming down his face. He's playing the guitar. And the parents got a little concerned because, is he sick? Is he going to pass out? What's going on? As the child came out, one of his friends hugged him and said, are you okay? And he said, I'm just happy. And when the mom, who is sitting here, she went up to me and said, are you okay? Estoy feliz. Estoy feliz. And that's why we exist, because we want our kids to be happy. And so to experience that, and we're looking for the video, because it was on video, because we had about 1,500 people listening to the kids, and there were at least probably that many recording. And so we want to see the video when he was on stage playing the guitar with tears coming down his face. So it's exciting.
He said, I'm just so happy. I thought he was going to faint, or he was just, it was too much, it was hot or something. And he says, no, I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to see people happy because we're playing. And then I was walking behind him and a friend of his, and he's like, and his friend asked him, are you okay? What's going on, Miguelito? And he's like, nothing, I'm just so happy. And he's like, you're a good kid. You're a good kid.
Well, I think, so if I may, I think it's important, I can't speak Spanish. I understand very little. And part of that was that my family, when they spoke Spanish in school, got hit, right? So they quit speaking at home as well. So my generation didn't learn. And I think what's important as I went through school, as Jessica has said too, is that not having those role models to know that you can do something beyond a blue-collar job is so important for us. And I remember the first Latino teacher that I had when he came to our school, and I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. Maybe I could do this. And I didn't have very many role models, definitely didn't have administrators. And so having a school that promotes that with kids, where their culture is celebrated and they have these role models where they can see that they can go on and do other things, is to be celebrated. And I think it's great you guys are doing what you're doing here. And I want all of your teachers to become administrators, right? So it's like, this is something we need to support and help each other, and I appreciate that you're doing that. And thank you for allowing me to be here and for being able to support Jessica, and we'll continue to celebrate that.
And here's our first CD from the first mariachi, children's mariachi. This is for Patricia too.
I was going to say, I have like four of those.
Well, next year we'll have to have you come perform at our annual dinner. We'll have to have your kids come perform.
Our kids love performing. They wouldn't leave today. They were here. School got out at 12:55, and they just left about 2 hours ago, at about 4 o'clock. So the kids just sit there and play. They just play music, and we love hearing them, so that's why we let them stay as long as they want. So.
That's awesome.
Thank
you. Just a little bug in your ear. I was told a story today about a school, Granite, Broadbank Junior. No, was it Broadbank? Cypress High. Broadbank. I don't know. It's one of the schools in Magnet. The teachers had an idea where they would bring in the students who were graduating from the high school. They lined up all the little ones in a line, and they paraded the high school graduates down that for the kids to cheer in their caps and gowns with a certificate that they were a graduate. You know, and it wasn't their real diploma yet, but it was just to let the kids know that they got something, you know, that idea.
It's a good idea.
And I'm wondering if that's something all the older siblings of the kids that you have here, and then eventually our own
kids will come back.
Coming back. Mm-hmm. So keeping track of what high schools they go to and bringing them back so the parents can have them in their cap and gowns, parade with the little ones so they can see where they're going.
That's That's a great idea.
And that brought chills up my spine today when they told me that story of this idea that the teachers had, and I said, "Ah, I'm telling this, but I'm
done." I have seen that in other schools before.
Yeah.
That is, they usually bring the kids that went to that school back to the school.
Right. But where we don't have that yet, maybe we could bring in siblings of them until we start having our own.
Yeah. Well, it won't take long because our sixth graders from 5 years ago are going to enter the 11th grade.
Okay. Wow.
So they're coming.
We should really make an effort to contact parents to say, did they graduate? Can they come to a parade?
we'll definitely follow up with that. We did have the Mexican Council at our sixth grade graduation this year.
Oh, wonderful.
And that was, the parents loved it. They kept them for about an hour taking pictures after with their kids. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of exciting to see.
The other idea, until we get that group coming, is Latinos in Action, to see if their graduates could come and just parade with in front of our kids so they can see their role models.
We'll follow up on that.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. So now we're moving to committee discussion and governance. Thank you, Brian.
I'm going to go too, but I'm going to leave these with you so that you can share those with your teachers.
Absolutely.
Anybody that's interested.
On the agenda, the committee discussion, actually last meeting, I was told to defer those until our strategic planning, those items, those four items.
Recording, the committee discussions will be deferred until our strategic planning meeting in June. So moving on to discussion information items, we'd like to have the executive director principal report.
Are you emailing your video?
Yes. Yes. Okay. We have really a lot of good news.
Yay.
We have a lot of good news. So the first one, let me make sure that I am.
It's enrollment.
Just a second, because I don't see the.
Maybe.
Zoom slideshow. Okay, there it is. Okay, so the first good news is the number of kids that, well, it could be bad news too, because we have 564 actual students, and we had about 30 that had not returned their...
27 now.
27 now. That did not return their enrollment form, but they're bringing it now. And the deadline was back in February. And so we're over full at this point. We have more kids than we need. 564 means that we would have 23 kids more than the extreme maximum allowed. 525 is our cap. 541 is the maximum that we can have. And so, but we usually lose a few kids during the summer. So we think that we will be okay. And we do have an idea on how to get down to the 541 if there's a problem, so without losing kids. But not only is that good, but look at the waiting list.
Goodness.
162 kids waiting on the waiting list. As you can see, we have 71 kindergarten kids waiting.
That's almost 40 more than last month.
Yes.
And that breaks my heart, because that tells you the need of what these parents in this community want.
Yes, yes. Here's some more good, well, this is not the good news, but it'll follow. As you know, there's problems with the testing program, Questar. They're horrible. The problems are horrible. The problems, not them. The problems are horrible, and this is one of them. We don't know how well we're doing in English language arts. And we won't until September. The first week of September, they said at the earliest, the last week of August. It's too late for a lot of the bonuses that we give and all those kinds of things. We're devising a new system to make sure that it's fair. But we think that in English language arts, we will be at about 22%, which is the highest that we'll ever be. That's what we're predicting by, based on what we're seeing the kids, how the kids are doing individually. And also on the following information. Because usually science and language arts go together. Science is a reading test. And so we are at 22% with 97% of the kids tested, and we're done. The kids are gone. So we're 22% again, which is the highest we've ever done. And so we think 24 to 25 possibly in language arts is possible.
Wonderful.
But look at the next one.
That's awesome.
And this is done. I mean, we're done with these tests. 9% 5 years ago, up to 33% proficiency this year.
If I have to go out, this is the best.
It is. It is. If we trip and fall, say, see, when I was there, we did good. But no, we will continue to grow because we're looking at each grade level and we're stabilizing the teaching force. As everybody knows around the world, I hope, the teacher makes the difference in the classroom. Yes, administrators do some things, but and the kids, of course, have to do their part. But really, and we've noticed that time after time, not only with academics, but with music, with chess, with everything, the teacher makes the biggest difference. It is not the child, it is not the administrator, it's the teacher. And we're stabilizing the teaching force. The first year, I don't know if you remember, we lost 50% of the teachers, some by their choice, some by our choice, but we lost a lot. Second year, less and less. Last year, we lost two. This year, only one is leaving on her own accord, who's retiring. We may take action on one or two, but at least only one is leaving because she's retiring. But this is what we expected 5 years ago, and that's what we're seeing. It speaks for itself, so that's really good news. Here's another good news. This is the kids in first, second, and third. First, second, and third. The state wants 60% of the kids to be to show growth, 1 year's growth. Notice, typical or above, we are at 63%, and that there's a couple of things that I noticed that really it should be 66%. And we'll let the state, because this is worst case scenario. I don't want to project 66 and then end up with 63. We believe it's going to be 66%. Because we're going for teacher by teacher. The teacher that has the best growth, as you can see, is 78% of the kids gain a year's growth or more. 78% of the kids. And the worst one, even the worst one, is 48%. That was our best 5 years ago.
That's higher than the state average.
Yes, it is. 60% is the state average. We're at 66, and that teacher is at 78%.
That's amazing.
Way above 18 point percentage points above the state average. And look at how many teachers, 63, 70, 70, 71, and 78. All those teachers are above the state average. And those are the kids that are coming up from first, second, and third grades. So this is really, really exciting news.
So go ahead. I just want to make one comment. Because I'm always leery of having lived in Utah for all these years and been in the school system, we are still being really good about how we're doing the test, how it's being observed and monitored, and if we need to film, so that we're not accused of ever doing anything with the testing itself.
Absolutely. And we have people that are not the teachers doing the testing. Mm-hmm. We have a team, and the person that has been doing it for 5 years, Melanie Broadhead. She's not a teacher. She has a teaching certification. She's a teacher, but she doesn't want to teach. She's our choir director, and she's in charge of the teaching team, the testing team that goes and tests. I never once walk in into the testing rooms, and I tell Julia, because she's our assistant principal and she's over the testing, you need to be monitoring, making sure, because I don't want to go in and people will say that I influence the people testing. I don't ever go into the testing sites. We are being very, very careful because we know they're going to question us when we get above state average. We know that. And so we would welcome anyone at any time to come and see what we're doing.
Need a reminder, watch Stand and Deliver, because
oh, yes.
Exactly what happened.
I watched it more than once.
Well,
yes.
They scrutinize us more than everybody else.
That's okay. I'm not concerned because we had six audits this year for everything, including the fingerprinting, which it has nothing to do with education. The state, what is it called? The
BCI,
background. The background checks. They did a full audit, which is okay. We don't mind. Again, we will be receiving funds for CSI, because we're in the bottom 5%. I think this year we'll climb out of the bottom 5% because of, based on the testing that we've seen. But as they said, you know, because we fell last year under the 5%, we will be now eligible for funding for 3 years, and it's a lot of money. And we've already submitted the plans, and we're waiting for the decision. This is the expiring funds that we're talking about. We applied for $151,000 this year, and we'll probably apply for that much for next year. And again, those are not reflected on the budget that he gave you. So it's about $300,000 more than we should be getting. And again, here's the CD that we have. We bought 1,000 CDs, and we've sold about half of them already. And we've donated to the radio stations and to the Mexican Council and to other people. And so here, this is the Mexican Council that recognized our mariachi as the first children's mariachi in the state of Utah. And his name is Jose Borjon. He's the consul of Mexico. This is where the story that I was telling you, and I wanted to make sure that Paula was here to hear it, because I know Paula well, and she wanted to hear that story. But the strategic planning meeting will be at the homestead Friday the 7th, and then Saturday the 8th. The board meeting is at 9 a.m. And so, and also I posted I have a map on how to get there for those people that sometimes will call me when I'm at the place. Now, tell me again, this is on the drive now, the Google Drive, the whole presentation, so that they know how to.
Will Google Maps not make it there?
It will.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's common enough place that it will take you there.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Yeah. But once you're in Heber, the signs, there's signs everywhere. So this is the calendar for next year. Today was the last school day of the year, and it was a little hectic. Kids were signing their books all over the building. I had a line waiting to go into my office almost the entire day. And so we go back, the kids go back on the 19th, teachers on the 7th. And I can tell you, they fly, especially when we have so much stuff to do in the office. That's it. There's the homestead, the address, and the dates.
Thank you very much. Next on the agenda is the parent-teacher report.
Can you turn the light on?
I was hoping for Shalene to help me out here because I haven't been around, but I know we finalized the chocolate sales. I just don't know what the exact, like, we got all the boxes back and how much we
I can give you a little idea.
I didn't have a chance to talk to Shalene, so.
Well, Natalie Pentico is the PTO liaison, and she's the one that kind of worked with this, and the parents still have about 40 boxes.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't.
And so, but we still made about $7,000.
Good.
You know, in the past we made $12,000, $13,000, but I think still $7,000 is a good amount for us to make. And the kids really enjoy it, especially the gifts that they get at the end.
Yeah.
They get, I don't know if you guys know, but they get this, an opportunity to go into the money machine.
Yeah, that's one of the favorites.
That's a favorite.
They love it, and they kept asking, when is it going to be? And we were waiting for the parents to return the boxes. But this year we had an unusually high level, our number of boxes not returned. Mm. And I'm not sure what happened. And we hope that they return them eventually, the boxes or the money. But we did have about 40 boxes that are still out. And we have the names of the kids and everything else, but Natalie's a little more gentle than the previous PTO liaisons. That she's just a little more shy. And maybe that had something to do with it. But we will get them in. Now, I'm not really concerned because I wanted them to bring the boxes back. Because on our emergency preparedness plan, I actually put that we have one candy bar for every child in case of an emergency when we have to shut them down. And so she was worried about it. I said, don't worry about it, because that's on our emergency preparedness plan. And we store them in a closet. And then the next year we try to sell some if we can, when we get the next batch. So I'm not concerned. I just wanted to bring the boxes back so I can put them in the closet and
have them for emergencies.
And be compliant for emergencies. And believe it or not, sometimes the kids are hungry. And you know.
Do we still put a? Are we allowed to still put a box in front of the?
We cannot sell chocolates in the building. We can't sell them.
Okay.
I think that's.
Oh, my God, is that a
dog? No, I think it's Angela. Yeah, Angela's phone. Hi, Angela.
Hi, just mute me, please. Sorry.
You're good. Thank you.
I was just saying that was also a success that kids will always get one. Anyway, I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that we. I forgot that we couldn't.
I think that was a loss as well. I think last year they were able to go and buy.
Mm-hmm. So we would sell about a box a week.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's too bad that we.
Yeah.
We did. A little
but it's
like
part
that.
Of running the nutrition
right,
program.
The nutrition,
that's something that we have to agree to, that mm-hmm. we cannot compete with a nutrition program, especially with candies and other things that are not healthy.
No, as long as we can do the fundraising, I think we're good.
Yeah, and we can only do two fundraisers that involve foods during
right.
the year. And so we give everything else up. And so we're good. Money is not our problem at this time.
Right.
And so we're doing very well. So. She's still collecting money. Today she was on the phone, or yesterday she was on the phone still, so it's going okay.
So it's interesting that our problems here at Esperanza are not money, mm-hmm. not having enough kids, not having wonderful teachers. So the other schools would be like, so what are your problems again? Rising scores.
That's the only challenge, but it's a challenge that we're meeting, you know, straight ahead, and we're not going around it. We know that's a challenge. And we are keeping our promise that we're doing our best that we can to raise it, and we are raising it. And so I just wish we
would. Well, just in light of being in public and watching the poor turnarounds, not being able to turn around, and granted, I'm closing schools, it just is interesting to me that ours is doing so well.
Yes.
I mean, they could take some lessons from us,
and
right?
And we're doing so well academically, and at the same time, we're building the culture of the kids, and we're keeping them happy.
The empowerment here is just amazing.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
so
absolutely. Yeah, we really take pride in what we're doing here.
Thank you, Patricia, for giving us the opportunity to have that relationship with the University of Utah and the museum. We had great support this year because of you. Thank you so much.
And I saw the presentations, and it was so valuable.
All the teacher training, and then coming here also.
And do you want to tell them what you're getting?
Huh?
You want to tell her who are you getting?
Oh yeah, the looms for the yeah.
Oh, yeah.
25.
Thank you so much.
And the starter kit.
Those were awesome. A big hit.
So yeah, I think we're going to do some workshops here.
Yeah,
keep it up. Keep it up. Yeah.
That's
like,
wonderful.
We want to continue with that culture of celebrating indigenous cultures. And it was a wonderful experience for me and. I guess for everybody here
well,
in the
school. Teachers in the upper grades, mm-hmm. I don't know.
It was wonderful.
It was at the literacy night when they had the, what do they call it, a mime?
Mime
reading, when somebody's reading and the kids are acting.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it was the history of corn. Is
yeah.
that
yeah, right.
And uh-huh. it was amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. The kids were just wonderful in it,
yeah.
So. Yeah, that connection that you connected us to is wonderful.
Well, and I, you know, love having a daughter there. Years ago when we didn't have this school, I had to find every way possible to keep that going in her. And I never dreamed myself that she would end up where she hasn't been able to reach out and do what she's done. So
well, the connection was
she's
great.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful young woman, yes. And she wants to keep going, so we'll see what her ideas
and
are.
And we want
yeah.
to keep going.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And if I may just comment, this is just as a parent. Zoe's in for Groico with Maestra this year. And she's doing amazing. But what I really wanted to get to is her grades are amazing. She's one of the top in her class. She's doing for Groico. She's doing mariachi. She loves both of them. But I was scared that she was going to not be doing good in class because she had all these other activities. But she seems to be motivated by that. She seems to be motivated by the fact that I tell her, you can focus on this, but you've got it. And she's like, I'll do good, mommy, I'll do good. And so I wanted to thank Maestra Esmeralda for that.
Thank you.
She's really inspired by her. She wants to learn about the folklorical culture. She wants to learn about the dances, where they come from, every single part. She wants to know everything. So we had a few students that were students of the year that are from Mariachi too. So that was a shocker for me.
It was nine of the Mariachi kids who were students of the year.
So that speaks well also of how everything is kind of coming together and making them happy.
Well, the research actually shows that kids who engage in activities after school do better academically. And so her kids today, they were outside my office. They wanted me to see their grades, and they didn't want to go show me, so they asked Mom. Yeah, they call me Grandpa. Yeah, they go over there and give me hugs. So anyway, it's been great.
So the final item is setting our next board meeting, which is the retreat, and it is June 8th
at 9 a.m. at Homestead Resort.
So any other items or concerns? Then we can close our meeting and adjourn.
I just wanted to make sure that Angela was listed as present. She was here as well.
So make sure that's.
Thank you. See you next time.
Yep.
See you in Midway.
To hear this.